everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
She endured unimaginable abuse at the hands of those who were supposed to care for her, cheated death several times, and would eventually be brought before the world, detailing those accounts before CNN, The Larry King Show, CBS, NBC, and other major network affiliates, as well as being asked to testify before the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee on the ramifications of pornography and child abuse. All detailed in her wrenching national bestseller, The Someday Kid, followed by her equally best-selling, If I'd Known Then, Would I Know Now? For anyone who has thought life isn't fair, you don't want to miss part one of my part two conversation with author, speaker, and founder of No Neutral Ground Ministries, and my honored and dear friend, Donna Ferguson. Donna, welcome to Testimony.
Thank you, dear. It's been a pleasure to anticipate it, and I'm looking forward to the completion of it.
Donna, before we begin, I just want to personally thank you for making the time to be with us today to share your incredible story. Would you please tell us that story?
I'd be happy to. Whenever I am asked to share my story, I go back to the first time I ever told my story. And that was to a therapist. I was 40 years old, and I was confronted with the fact that my life, if it was going to amount to anything, if I was ever going to have any peace or feel safe again, I had to deal with what had happened to me and all the people that were involved. After I did tell my story, he looked at me and said, "As a person, Donna, you are the most convincing proof of the existence of a God that I have ever seen." Now, when he said that, I was taken aback because up to that point, I had thought God had cursed me. I blamed him for everything that he had not given me. I blamed him for the actions of people who had abused me, for first of all, putting me in a family with an alcoholic father who was described as a good-looking ladies' man with a drinking problem and a temper. And indeed, he did have a temper. My predominant picture of my father is the night that he pinned me down on the kitchen floor and ran a knife up my throat to the side of my head and said that he was going to cut off my ears because I had eaten some candy that he was saving for himself. If my mother had not intervened, I'm sure he would have done it because he was capable of things like that. So you can imagine our home life was traumatic and bleak, and my mother, bless her heart, could not take any more. So she planned a family suicide. She put my little brother and me on her lap and turned on the gas. I remember her pulling us up in front of the stove and tying us on her lap so we wouldn't fall off, and breathing in the gas. When they broke down the door and found us, she was sitting dead in the chair, but my little brother and I were barely hanging on to life, but we were alive. I went home from the hospital. I didn't go home. I went to a foster home. And the night that my mother died, and for reality, I lost my mother, my father, and my little brother.
Donna, how old were you at this time?
I was 7 years old, just seven. And I ran into some people in the foster homes, men who used my body. And I was terrified of everybody. Words were spoken over me. At one of these foster homes, the woman came home and caught her husband with me in the bed. And she picked me out of that bed like plucked me off a tree and threw me across the room And he sat there and said I had asked him to do it. The next thing I knew, I was standing on the corner with a social worker, and she was squeezing my hand so hard, I thought she was going to crush it. And she said, I don't know if I'll find anybody who will want to take you in. Nobody likes to have dirty little girls living in their home. And that set the stage for who I was and the way other people would see me, whether they did or not. I moved on to other foster homes that had other abuse. Then I was adopted into this wonderful family, I thought, with a sweet woman who had always wanted a daughter, but she couldn't have any more children, so she talked her husband into adopting me. Well, the only reason he did take me was because he wanted to make her happy. A year later, I came home from school one day, and I found her unconscious on the floor. And 3 days later, she was dead, and I started on another round of temporary living situations. And this went on for years and years and years. I would move from school to school and place to place. I won't go into all the other people that came into my life, but I never heard anybody say, I love you, that I can remember. There was never any softness or generosity towards me. There was harshness. There was abuse. And I never felt safe a day in my life until I got into therapy and started working through all my pain.
Now, Donna, at what age was that that you got into therapy?
I was 40 years old.
40 years old.
And I had tried to commit suicide when I was 11, and I was suicidal off and on during my growing years. But at 40, I knew that my survival was going to have, would be a life and death matter. If I didn't deal with the past was going to overpower me, and I wouldn't have a life because I didn't think life was worth the bother.
Now, Donna, at the age of 40, were you single at this time? Were you married?
No,
what was your situation?
I was married. I was married. And I was, it was a very unhappy marriage. See, people like me don't make good choices. They fall in need, and they are so anxious to belong that they do make the wrong decisions. Now, I had been married once before, and when my child was born mentally retarded and handicapped, this man who said he loved me deserted both of us. And I had no family to help. And I had one thing. And that was the face of Christ hanging on the cross that I had seen in a movie on the life of Christ when I was in an institution, Catholic institution. And the face of Jesus was the face that never went away for me. You know how you will have flashbacks of ugly flashbacks? You can't control them. Well, just often enough, I would see that face. I fell in love with Jesus when I was 11. This is when I saw the movie. But I was terrified of the Father because somebody had told me that I had a curse on my head. And I believed them. So I had a curse on my head. I was a dirty little girl. I was also told that they thought that my brain was damaged because of the gas. And I took my identity from those words that were spoken over me. And then I didn't really understand who I was until I found my identity in the words of Jesus Christ in the Bible. That's when I realized, this is who God says I am, and this is who I am. Therefore, I was beginning to get a grounding. And the therapy helped me realize that, yes, it was God who was responsible for my survival. And I would think back to people who spoke encouraging words to me, like the time I was spared twice in 1 hour from dying. And I had wanted to go to a dance. And I was all ready to go to the dance, but I fainted before I could get to the dance. I woke up in the emergency room, and the doctor told me, he said, you have to have emergency surgery. And I, foolish me, you know, when we're young, if we have a crush on somebody, I wanted to go to that dance so bad. And I even asked the doctor if he could give me a shot to kill the pain, and I'd come back immediately after the dance.
Now, Donna, let me just interrupt for those who may have just tuned in. I want to let them know that you are listening to Donna Ferguson, the author of The Someday Kid, which is the story of her life, a story of abuse that was aired on CNN, Larry King, CBS, and around the world.
What the doctor told me when I came out of surgery was a small sentence, just a few words, and it changed my life forever. He said, you must have a very special mission in life, young lady, because God has spared it twice in the same hour. When they opened me up, there was 1 foot of gangrenous intestine in my body and an appendix that was ready to rupture. And in those days, we didn't have all the antibiotics we have now. People died of peritonitis all the time, and I was in nurse's training at the time, and I realized that. He said that the same time we were operating on you, an oil tanker ran a stop sign and crashed into the car you would have been driving in, right at the passenger seat where you would have been sitting, and you would have been killed outright if you had even survived the crash itself. The impact would have ruptured your intestines.
Wow.
And you would be dead. Now, that was the first time anybody ever suggested to me that I had a purpose. And that word purpose, if we ask all the words that are important to you, and that's what I try to convey to people, you have a purpose. You're on this earth, and God has a purpose for your life. Now, I had to learn that I had to find out what that purpose was. I had to go through the healing process of forgetting what people said about me. I had to go through a very arduous forgiving process, which I hope eventually we can discuss. And that was the only way I was going to get rid of the flashbacks and rid of the fear and the anxiety and insecurity. And once that was done, I realized that, yes, I had a purpose, but I had to cooperate with God in the fulfilling of that purpose.
I think this might be a good place to stop. We're out of time. We're going to pick up next week with the rest of your incredible story. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Donna Ferguson, author of The Someday Kid. And if I knew then what I know now, please stay tuned for part two of her incredible journey and the hope she found in Jesus Christ through it all. Donna, thank you for being with us today on Testimony. We look forward to talking with you again next week.
Thank you.
Welcome to part two of the incredible and overcoming story of a child so terribly abused, it was all she could do to lift her head, and was told at an early age she had a curse. It was somehow her fault, her shame. She would eventually marry, have children, but never deal with the hurt and pain of the past, until one day she would find the truth to set her free and be used by God to set millions free, as detailed in her national best-selling, The Someday Kid, and If I Knew Now What I Knew Then. Would you please welcome back to Testimony author, speaker, and founder of No Neutral Ground Ministries, and a woman being used by God to restore families to wholeness and bring relief and healing to the abused of this world, my dear friend and honored guest, Donna Ferguson. Donna, welcome back to Testimony.
I'm glad to be back.
Donna, anyone who missed part one will be riveted by what you shared, which is the story of your life in The Someday Kid. But part two, I want to talk about your second book.
If I'd known then what I know now, and that book has a subtitle, The High Cost of Spiritual Confusion, because that was always my problem. Until I sorted out who God was, that he did not blame me, he wasn't against me, and before I realized that I could even know him, I was astounded when I came to know him in a way that was going to finally get me out of all of my pain. The scripture says that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. And it's the truth that we know that we apply to our lives that sets us free. And it's the person of Jesus Christ that we must know. I used to see God as some ethereal being out there that watched all of us down, struggling down here, and we were just at his mercy. Then I came to find out that he wanted a personal relationship with me. And that was so far away from my thinking, but I just decided, all right, I was going to find out for sure. And so I began to read the Bible. I spent years studying the Bible, listening to teaching tapes, and then I had opportunities to speak to groups of women in prison. And the more I learned about myself and God's attitude about me, I realized that his attitude toward everybody was the same. And the compassion that I wanted from him, he wanted to visit on other people that hadn't found him yet. So it became the joy of my life to be able to deal with some of these issues with groups of women, mostly hurting women. I remember the day that we were in a prison, there was 325 women there, and they asked how many had been sexually abused as children. All but 9 put their hands up. So there was that opened up a whole new ministry. But just to know the things that I was confused about and how they had held me back for so long. May I just list a couple of things?
Please do.
It takes more than time to heal a heart. I thought time, you know, they'd say, well, you'd get over it. Just, you know, a little bit of time, you'll be okay. It just takes time. No, it takes more than time. It takes knowing God and putting yourself in his hands and trusting him and relying on him and doing what he asks us to do, to learn of him. And in learning of him, I also learned who I was and started to heal.
So would you say, Donna, that anyone who has a problem with a natural father or someone who's a male figure who has abused them and ultimately could have problems with a father God, would you say the answer to that is in a relationship with Jesus Christ? And was that your answer?
Absolutely. And I went from being a nobody to being the bride, the beloved, the cherished one of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I knew that I had a destiny. I discovered why I was put on this earth, and I discovered what lay ahead of this earth. You know, if you don't know God personally, you don't have any place to go with your pain. If you can't trust him, you're not going to get better. You are just going to plod along, and you're going to miss the joy of knowing him and serving him, and there's nothing that makes me happier than being able to introduce somebody to the way out of their pain and to see them, to see God act. He's the one that does the work, but just to see him do it. And we get so filled with notions. I had so many people give me their opinions about God, who he was and what I could expect. And I became disciples of their opinions, because that's all I had to go by. But once I started reading the Bible for myself, I became a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I believed everything that he said. I know he is who he says he is, the Son of God and God the Son. And he's the only help I needed and I have. And I often say, when I'm talking to a group of women, I wish you all came with zippers so I could unzip you and pour into you what God has poured into me. And you could have the joy of knowing who you are in Him and because of what He's done in coming to earth, so that we couldn't understand God. If you want to understand God, study the life of Christ. If you want to know the heart of God, study the life of Christ, and you will get introduced to Him. And once you do that, and you begin to get closer and closer to Him, there is nothing in the world that I want more than Him.
Quick question. There are statistics out there today that talk about the number of children that are abused in homes today. Can you talk a little bit about those statistics, the damaging effects of pornography, which you talked about on CNN, Larry King, and many other network affiliate programs, and what No Neutral Ground Ministries has done to help with this epidemic?
Well, I can tell you that when we started, we wanted to help parents protect their children against pedophiles. And God very graciously gave us a book that we could get out there. It's been used by law enforcement agencies. It's gone overseas. It's even been used by the FBI, and it's your guide to child protection. And you never think it's going to happen to you until it happens to you. And then we are also involved in repairing the damage. And we are involved in Middle Eastern ministry to the women over there.
I was going to ask you about that. That is at the forefront of every news channel today.
Mm-hmm.
What are your efforts in helping these women?
I was invited to talk directly to the Farsi community, speaking community, worldwide in Iran. They live all over the world. And tell them a little of my story, and to tell them that the only way to live in this world is to put your faith in Jesus Christ and the difference that He made in my life. In fact, He saved my life. If I had not found Him, I would have committed suicide, because there's nothing to live for. And if you can just get that eternal perspective, His perspective, we were created to live forever and ever. And my main thing now is getting people to understand that this life is so short and eternity is forever. And you can actually work toward, looking toward, and help the Lord advance His kingdom by your attitudes and what you do and the way you demonstrate the love of Christ to others. If they can see the love of God enacted in your life, and if you can reach out to them in a loving way, there's nothing like authentic love to turn everybody around. There's nothing like authentic love to heal. I don't care how broken you are. And that's what everybody wants, is authentic love. Not the love that manipulates, but love that is pure and true.
So, Donna, was there one person in your life that you feel God sent to you to show that authentic love?
I would say the doctor who told me that I had a purpose, he was one of them. And my beloved prayer partner, Betty Hawkins, we met over 20 years ago. He has blessed me. I always say she's the only mother I ever had. She is involved in all the ministry. She's right beside me. She functions at the top level, and she's loved by many, many people. So having a prayer partner and having God has brought people like you and Barbara Lestrang. I can see Him hand-picking certain people, and we are all working together for the same objective, to portray and to show people the love of Christ. And what the one thing that I find so troubling, and it's what I did, I blamed my circumstances on God. And we cannot judge His love by our circumstances. But how many of us have done it? It's like it's just a bent in us, because we look at other people and say, well, why can't I have that? Or how come she has this and I have nothing? you think that if there is a God, why does do all these things happen? And they're not happening because anything God's done. It's happening because of what we do to each other. So that, to me, is kind of an underlying message. Don't judge God by your circumstances. Judge God by the love of Christ portrayed at Calvary.
So, Donna, for someone that's listening right now and is asking God, why, God, why me, what do you say to that person?
You have to give up looking for answers that don't exist. I don't have that answer. All I know is that if you will give your life to him, invite him into your life. He's not going to force his way. If you will invite the Lord Jesus into your life and you will learn of him and you will learn to cooperate with him. See, the kingdom of God operates differently than the kingdom of man. And so once we become disciples of Christ, we undergo some training. We have to learn how the kingdom operates. And we change the way we do things, and our attitudes change. So there is a growing process here, but once you do that, then life takes on a full different meaning. We don't have to go to seminary to understand the Bible. Let the Lord penetrate all of your confusion, and he will if you're faithful to read it.
Donna, we want to thank you for being with us today on Testimony. We'd love to have you come back when we have a little more time. But God bless you for all that you are doing, all that you have done. And can you just give our listening audience some last few words of hope as we close out today's program?
The one thing I want you to take away from this is get a firm grip and understanding on this fact that life is a school for eternity. Our relationships with God and each other are the classroom, and the Bible is the curriculum. Make that your focus. Get that perspective, and it will set you on a great adventure. It will be life-giving and life-changing, and we all need that. We all need the lives changed in our own families and in those that are around us. So just remember, life is a school for eternity. And God bless you all who have heard. I pray that the Lord will touch you in whatever way you need to be touched for your eternal good and his eternal glory.
If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony.